Hey, it's Shimon, and this is the Faith Through Music podcast. Here we speak with artists, creators, and musicians about how faith influences their music and how music influences their faith. If you enjoy the music discussed in this episode, please check out our playlist on Spotify in the episode description. Today I have the pleasure to speak with Zacharia Yishai Levine, better known as Lachai Emoji. Zacharia is no stranger to struggle and surpassing people's expectations. After losing an eye to cancer as a toddler, doctors told Zacharia he would never be able to play football. But he proved the doctors wrong. Not only did he play, but he excelled, earning himself a Division I scholarship to the University of North Dakota and multiple pro and NFL tryouts. Zacharia applies that same drive and determination that allowed him to succeed on the football field to his Judaism and his rapping. Growing up in a musical family, Zacharia played both the cello and the drums from an early age. That developed into a love of writing and rapping. Zacharia soon became a regular on the Minneapolis freestyle and battle rap scenes, landing him an opportunity to perform on BET's 106 in Park under the name Jermaine Champagne. Zacharia is now on what he calls his road to tzaddikim, his road to righteousness, his journey to spirituality, his journey to Orthodox Judaism. Even when growing up in the church, Zacharia always had a connection to Judaism, from his mom's chai necklace to being told that he came from the lost tribes of Israel. Over time, this led him to learn more about Judaism, and he ended up in an Orthodox synagogue in Minneapolis. From there, his journey continued, from learning the Chumash, the five books of Moses, to the Talmud, and more. He gravitated towards Orthodox Judaism and desired to convert. From there, he began learning with rabbis in Minneapolis and eventually moved to Israel to study at Or Sameach. While at Or Sameach, Zacharia became Chavrusa's study partners with former NBA All-Star Amari Stoudemire, who was also on a similar journey to Judaism. Now please join me with Lachai Emoji as we discuss his road to tzaddikim. I never thought that this could happen. Not even in my wildest dreams. Said I'm toiling the door and my mind's on my meatos. Yeah, I'm on the road to tzaddikim. Zacharia, thank you so much for joining me.
Man, appreciate you, Achie. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate the work you're doing.
I appreciate that. Let's go right at it. Where'd your passion for music start? How'd you get from a kid growing up in Minneapolis to where you are now, dropping four albums this past year?
I think I came around a bunch of musically inclined individuals. Obviously, probably one of the biggest was the artist known as Prince. Being my mom's first cousin, that us obviously exposed me to music at a very high level, authentic music. Also growing up under like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who were big time producers in music that had big influence. And then just riding in the car with my grandpa as he's listening to Billie Holiday on 8-track or Grover Washington, or riding with my dad as he's listening to Quincy Jones. I got exposed to music at a very high level of like some of the greats, I think, of the past. And obviously, you know, in the hip hop era, the notion of expression in a poetic way, you know, took on real speed in the 90s. And, you know, that's like around the era where I was just starting to grow up and have a little freedom. And it just became my form of expression.
I hear that. Was that growing up, did you have a lot, were they your cousins and your relatives? Did you interact with them a lot musically also, or is more so just like that, them being in your sphere of influence?
Yeah, no, just being in the sphere, being aware, seeing how other people reacted to their music and how it made them feel. Just obviously, you know, it was very inspiring and very much makes you want to, you know, you want to try your hand at it too. You know, you want to see how you can express yourself. And if that resonates with some people, everyone's got an audience. You just got to find it.
When you started making music, were you originally rapping or like, were you playing instruments? How'd you start musically?
I was always rapping. You know, I started rapping at like 4 years old, but also came up playing the drums and playing the cello. So, you know, being part of the Twin Cities Orchestra and then obviously, you know, playing drums at the church and different, you know, jam sessions, you know, obviously there's that love for rhythm. I'd say rapping is probably very similar to drumming, you know, where you're just like trying to hit the beat right, with proper accents. So, yeah.
No, I hear that, especially like people that I've talked to, hearing how like people who like start with drumming, I feel like it kind of helps them from a rap perspective as well. Like kind of you've built that perspective of rhythm and that way to really deal with that rhythm and how to then use that in the way you flow.
100%.
Growing up with like music in your house and then music in the church, as you said, did that all music coming from different from different areas and different directions. Did that play a role when you then, like, in your religious journey as well?
Not really. No, I mean, you know, I guess growing up in the church, it was always a conversation about God. So I was always focused on getting closer to God. Mm-hmm. And at the time I started becoming more religious from a Torah-based perspective, there wasn't really any music that I listened to. Later on, you know, somebody introduced me to like Nassim Black's music, which was, you know, which was obviously encouraging, even mm-hmm. even just from the standpoint of like, hey, okay, somebody else that maybe came from a similar background as me is, you know, has a voice. But yeah, you know, on my journey, I was always probably creating music. So I was just expressing my travels in music even before, you know, it had a Hexer on it, you know.
I hear you. Can you tell me maybe a little bit more about your journey from like growing up in Minneapolis and your religious journey as well?
I think it's twofold. I was certainly exposed to, Hebrew origins. My mom wore a high necklace. One of her closest relatives, my aunt Della, had converted to Judaism. I grew up in an area that was like the old Jewish neighborhood and community. But then me personally, being a kid and, you know, reading the Bible and being mindful of, you know, the stories in the Bible, I just always had a feeling like, you know, that we were of the lost tribes, chosen Israel. As you study the history of African Americans and the transatlantic slave trade and the things that are talked about in Devarim. So I just had a feeling in my heart that sort of the narrative that what was told just didn't add up. So it just kept me on sort of a journey to really try to find God for myself. And, you know, if a person ever tries to seek out God, he for sure is going to show himself. And if you maintain that search and that seek, he'll continue to show himself, you know. And so that's just kind of been my continued journey of just staying authentic and I guess keeping my prioritization on spiritual growth above anything else.
How did you get involved in Orthodox Judaism?
I stumbled into a shul before Shabbos on a Friday night. Didn't even know what was going on in the building, but, you know, God was directing me. And I opened the door and, you know, the rabbi's there speaking about what I was talking to God about in my car. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So I went inside and eventually, you know, saw a Humash that drew my attention. I took that home, read it, and just kind of kept really being these miraculous moments that I didn't necessarily anticipate, but they ended up just being huge, huge moments to accelerate my direction.
Mm-hmm. Were you making music throughout your whole journey, or did you at a point take a break and like you were focusing just on the learning?
I guess when I came to Jerusalem, you know, my rabbi was like, hey, if you're making music, people might think you're not really genuinely trying to learn. So I guess I held off from making music formally from about, you know, November 2018. You know, till about, and I guess, yeah, almost until a little before, maybe around about August 2019. So I guess mm-hmm. less than a year break. But I had music out when I landed and that I had released on my journey of like becoming more spiritual before I moved to Israel. And then I released my first song, Major Flavor, which is kind of like a song, you know, starts off saying, contrary to popular belief, I found peace. You know, so it's kind of just me telling part of my journey and my story. And then I just picked up speed from there and Pesach dropped my first project, What's the Hexer? And then dropped four more records after that. And yeah.
When you're creating your music, are you starting with you're getting a beat from somewhere or you're creating a beat and then you're rapping over that? Or are you first writing your raps? How do your raps come into existence?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes stuff just drops from my spirit. Other times I'll be listening to a beat and I feel like I can just hear, you know, divine inspiration on like what to say, how to say it. So yeah, you know, it just kind of flows like that.
I hear that. Where do you get the idea to like, which I find is really cool with some of your music is how you kind of almost flow like different prayers or even like you've gone over like, like the Echad Mi Odea, like Who Knows One.
That's the commandments, 9 months of childbirth, 8 days of the breast, 7 days of the week, 6 orders of the Mishnah, 5 books of the Torah, 4 that's the matriarchs, 3 that's the patriarchs, 2 tablets on the Luchos, 1 God the Sachad, 1 God the Sachad, 1 God the Sachad, 1 God the Sachad.
You kind of flow that into the rap in like a really cool way of like taking something that's like classically Jewish and then putting your own spin on it and giving it like a really cool flair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to Mekadesh everything, you know, so it just as it comes, you know, it's just, and you know, part of it is me trying to leave trails that would help others that are trying to learn or becoming more religious. Help them find their way home and encourage them through a medium that's consistent with how they may consume culture, you know? So, yeah.
Do you have specific influences in the way you flow or in the beats that you look for? Because, like, I feel like even like listening to your stuff, I feel like there's like a very wide range of influences. Because, like, you have stuff that feels like very current stuff, like even like Kyle, or even stuff that's like really like much more newer kind of beats, and then you have stuff that's like the early 2000s, and then even like stuff that even feels like very 90s at the same time also.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I listen to a lot of Fela Kuti. He's a great instrumentalist and musician, singer. It's just all about the mood I have tried to put with each of my projects, a certain kind of sound together. You want continuity in a project. And, you know, got some more coming out, more from like a jazz perspective and a little more traditionally hip hop perspective. But, you know, It's just a numbers game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear that. Step back a tad. How'd you start rapping? Like, I know, like you said, you were doing it your whole life, but is there something that kind of like got you into that in the first place?
Growing up, my mom wouldn't let us watch TV. We only could have 2 TV coupons for a week. Mm-hmm. Each coupon was for 30 minutes.
Grew up a similar way. I hear that.
The rest of the time we had to do, you know, vocab words and book reports and Encyclopedia Britannica articles. So all that reading obviously fuels the brain. All that research work fuels the brain and the thoughts. And so it just gives you a lot to be able to say when you want to say it, much more than you thought you even knew what it meant. But it ends up being that all context is right on cue.
When you were initially like starting out, what were you trying to say? And then how has that like shifted?
I mean, I think I was always trying to put out a positive message and express myself. I mean, it hasn't changed at all. It's just gained more clarity. And now that I feel like I have more clarity in my life, I feel more comfortable being a little more aggressive with getting it out there and making more songs, you know, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, there's a big responsibility for putting a stumbling block in somebody's way or, you know, leading a blind person down the wrong path. So, you know, just always tried to give positivity and light and praise Hashem, you know.
I hear that. You also played football in college and considered going pro. And how does both football help? How did that influence the way you create your music as well as in your journey towards Judaism? Did that also play a role?
I think spiritually it definitely plays a role. You know, everything is a form of muscle memory. So when you're conditioned to try to get up early, go harder, do a little more than everyone else, put in more effort, you know, that becomes a carryover in everything that you do. So I've definitely benefited, you know, because of that, because of the determination. Also because of the position I played, I was used to taking on obstacles right away. So then you just kind of don't view an obstacle as a stumbling block. You view it as an opportunity to show your skills, you know?
Are there any lessons that you took from your time playing football that you've applied to, like, your learning and different things in your life?
Yeah, keep your head on a swivel and keep moving. Try to be the first guy moving. And you always keep your head on a swivel, you know? You don't want to get caught in one side or one set of view. You want to be able to see it all.
I hear that. Slight transition over here. I know, like, you went back to school and you got a law degree and you got an MBA. Has that helped you from the music, like, in the music game as well, with like knowing what you need to do and how you need to create, like, meaning from the business side of things?
It definitely gives you a comfort, and I would say, you know, more content of what to talk about, you know. But it probably helped me more just in terms of Torah, because a lot of the law comes from Gomorrah and the Chumash. So learning law kind of gives that same opportunity and insight, you know?
It's interesting. Is there anything that, like, as you continue to learn and grow, that's like sticks with you more than anything else? Like, is there like, do you gravitate more towards certain parts of learning?
I mean, I think there's two sayings probably that, I mean, two concepts. One is, you know, you should only dive in Hashem for more simcha, more bitachon. You know, most people want to ask for a bunch of stuff. It's just like more joy and more trust. And, you know, if a man says he toiled and tore and it didn't change him, don't believe him. Either he didn't toil or he didn't have fear of heaven. And then there's a saying from my rabbi, Rabbi Matalon, who says, it's a pity not to know your weaknesses, but it's a shame not to know your strengths, you know? And so I think that that trifecta really kind of just kind of guides and governs me, of just trying to always seek to be more joyful and trust more, to continue to allow Torah to transform me, and to always know my strengths.
I hear that. That feels almost like, in a sense, like when you're trying to create music, I feel like that, like you've touched on a little bit already, like that's almost like the goal of the music you create, is kind of to convey this idea of positivity and these kind of messages.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I hear that. What does music mean to you?
You know, music just means a chance to express your gratitude to Hashem and to lift him up and to praise Hashem through your efforts, you know. So make a joyful noise.
We talked about before about different musical influences and stuff like that. How does, let's say, taking all those things together, I feel like that's something that rap does very well, is that you're able to, because you're rapping over a rhythm, you're rapping over a beat and creating in that way. And like, it's kind of cool, I guess, how you're able to use all those influences and flow that together. Is that something that you see as well?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of cooking is to take all the ingredients you got and make a fire dish. I think that's what, you know, I think music in general, I think, is that. But I suppose rap is more of a ichiban style, or hibachi style, rather, where you kind of got the fire out there in the front and you're cooking up and the people are right there watching.
I hear that. No, that's... Do you have any songs from that, like, or stuff that you've written that, like, sits with you more than any other? Like, you're like, oh, this is, like, the song, like, if I want somebody to hear what I'm creating and what I'm conveying, this is what they should, like, listen to.
I mean, you know, it depends on the mood, the audience, the crowd. I definitely have a few, you know, I guess a bunch of songs that I feel like really articulate how I feel. So, you know, it just depends on the age of the crowd, the cultural demographic, you know, whether it's Beta Israel. Whether it's, you know, Leaf Name. I know some folks want to see me down. Tell them, look at me now. When others slow down, me and my guys speed up. Toiling in Torah, finally kick my feet up. Man, I'm falling from heaven. Try business, heat up. Ain't no more on deck, baby, we up. Say, winner, chicken dinner. Pomegranate chopped liver. Sushi nachos for the kiddish. DoorDash, we deliver. Whether it's, Give Ya Team, Gari. There's a bunch of different songs with this Shabbos juice.
Best part is 25 hours, no work. 25 hours, no work. Yeah. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharei, Malachi Elyon, Mimelech Malchei Hamlachim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu.
It's Ani Paul, you know.
Kotel to Nachlo, from Rahavia to Baca, from Taupio to Catamon, all the way to Maladao. Meshane Makom, Meshane Mazal, Yehiran Tzom Milfanecha. Meshane Makom, Meshane Mazal, Yehiran Tzom Milfanecha. Ani Paul, Ani Paul, Ani Paul, Ani Paul, Ani Yerushalayim, Ani Paul.
Parshas Balak, one of my favorite records, just because of being thankful and being grateful.
Don't pay him no mind, we call that the evil eye. Don't
rather see you win, rather see you fail. Open to curse you, but to no avail. We bless, we bless. Be blessed. Hey, we bless.
You know, so it's our relative, you know?
I hear that. It's interesting. I feel like you also do a really good job of conveying, like, a certain sense of humor into the words that you're saying and, give, and messages you're giving over.
Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, you want to be able to be yourself and focus on being yourself in a way that allows others to feel comfortable being themselves. I think humor for sure does that when everyone's laughing. A lot of people feel, you know, feel good.
I hear that. What, I guess, gave you the idea or the motivation to put out so much music so quickly? Like, I feel like in generally in most areas in the world, you're seeing somebody maybe dropping an album once a year, if even that, and like you managed to drop four.
Yeah, I mean, I think Corona played a part, and also it's just like, you know, gotta get what you have, gotta do what you can, make the most of every moment, you know, you gotta do something. So you know, and again, this is really too great engineer in Jerusalem, Yoni Freelander. And so, you know, because we got a good chemistry of me, able to just get in the studio and get active, he moves pretty quick from an engineering standpoint. So, as soon as I find that here in America, by God's grace, you know, be back in the trenches.
Like we talked before about lessons that you learned from your rabbis and your dad and things like that. Are there, do you have any favorite life lesson or like the way that you, that you live your life, that you want people to always take with them and walk with them?
Yeah, my dad told me you can only complain about what you're willing to change. So if you don't like something, do something about it. If you're not going to do something about it, be quiet. I'll give a final thought. You know, we're closing in on Pesach. Obviously, the whole notion of the Pesach Seder, there's an order to things. The Seder plate, there's an order to things. The structure of the Haggadah, there's an order. And then that we're looking to break free out of its rhyme and to reach freedom on our way to the promised land, which is a place where then you could live freely. And I think that it's important for us to see its rhyme within ourselves. We're quick to see its rhyme in other people, but to see the its rhyme in ourselves, the doubts, the fears, the insecurities, the materialisms, different negative ways that maybe we're impacting ourselves, and to break free internally and to journey so that we find the promised land, you know, within ourselves, and really to live and rest in that and allow others a place to rest and live within that truth. You know, I think that's the overarching concept and principle of Pesach is freedom, but not just for an individual, but for the collective group of people, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just pray that everyone finds that this year, not just physically, but spiritually, mentally. You know, it's not a geographic thing. It's a deeply rooted spiritual, mental, emotional place, you know.
No, I hear that.
Appreciate you giving me the chance to come on here and share my thoughts.
Appreciate you coming on. What are you working on now? Like, what should people expect coming from you down the pipe?
Yeah, better rock and chill. We got some videos coming out and definitely some more music, so stay tuned.
Good stuff. Where can people check you out on social media and stuff like that?
Lachaim OG, LCHAIMOG on Instagram, OG Lachaim OG on Twitter, Lachaim OG on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music. And
it's good stuff. I really appreciate you coming on and giving me that time.
Appreciate it, bro. Glad we were able to get this done.
It's good. It was really nice. Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. For more conversations like the one you just heard, please follow us on Instagram at OurFaithThrough, THRU, music, and subscribe in your favorite podcasting app. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.